Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
It's open, y'all.
Hello?
Yeah, it's open.
Oh, okay, great. Yes, indeed, my brother. I'm glad that we had a chance to make this open up and come about tonight for the show. And, you know, we're going to be talking about spiritual unity and how we can really come together in unity to really be a blessing to our community. And also we're going to talk about something that, unfortunately, is something that our people overlook, and that's basically because it's been not given to us like we were supposed to get it, like other people in our communities here. You know, one of the things that, you know, we've been told, which was not true, was that as a people coming here to America, you know, the first amount of our people that ever set foot on America were those that were slaves. And that's not true. You know, the thing about it was that, you know, and this is something that, you know, came through, you know, actually seeing not just black historians, but even white historians that confirmed that this was a true statement and a true history piece. And I even looked into it further and did some research, and I found out that this was even more so true. But the thing about it was that we as a people being that we, that was another reason why this information was never shared with us. And the main reason was because we were world leaders before. We weren't just slaves for white people, and that was it. We were world leaders before in the past. And right here, even in this country, not just a few hundred years ago, but thousands of years ago, our people were here in this country. And we even built pyramids, you know, that were built from California straight across to New York. So they said it was at least about 95 to 100 pyramids that were spread across in different states and everything. Well, we call them states now, but at that time, it was no United States that existed. But anyway, the bottom line is that our people were here at that time, and there was a large population of African people that had come to this country and decided to live here, even to the point where, again, we had pyramids that were built. We had communities that were built here in America. And the fact that we were here shows that we were here even before the Native Americans came here to this country. And that was something that, you know, was never told to us. We were just told that the Native Americans were the first ones that were here. We came over here as slaves, and basically being that we came as slaves, that was the first time we ever came to America. And that's the sad thing about, you know, dealing with some of the historic things that are taught to us, because I understand to a certain extent why they don't want us to know these things, because if you know that you and your people were world leaders hundreds of thousands of years ago, and that your people, you know, lived actually here in huge populations even before the Native Americans came, and we actually built pyramids here in the United States. Because when I was told this, I was first told this by, you know, an African-American historian. And I was like, wow, that's interesting, man. And he said, well, you know what? He said, if you don't even believe that we built pyramids thousands of years ago here, he said, you could look that up. And one of the places you could look it up on is Google even. And they asked, even share with you whether pyramids were built here or not. I said, really? And I did. I checked on Google, and Google said, yes, there is a nice number of pyramids that were built across the United States here in America. And if you want to, you could actually go to those pyramids, and we could tell you where they are in different states. And I said, wow, that's interesting. And they said, the only thing, we'll let you go to the pyramid, but you are not going to be permitted to go inside the pyramid. And that was interesting, because even when you go to Egypt, one of the things, you know, when you go inside Egypt, you see pictures of our African people in those pyramids. And one of the things that they even showed that, you know, blew a lot of people's minds too was that there was one portion of one of the big pyramids in Egypt that showed an African Egyptian brother that was flying a spaceship through the sky, and he was going on his way to another planet. And I was like, wow, that's deep, you know. And there was a brother by the name of Dr. Jeffries that was actually the one that, you know, was bringing, you know, a lot of different, you know, people with him, African-Americans with him from, you know, he was in New York, and some of the people that he was bringing with him were from other states as well, because they said, wow, I would definitely like to go to these pyramids and see what you're talking about. So he brought a lot of people with him, you know, to Egypt. And they did go inside the pyramids, and they looked in and saw a lot of the great things that our people had done. And it was like, wow, that's deep. But the thing about it was, one time, and this was about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, when he went with a nice amount of people, because normally he would bring 50, 75 people with him, right, to Egypt, you know, to go and check out, you know, his historic history information that he was sharing with them, you know. And the problem was, when he went there this particular time, and this was like, again, 4 or 5 years ago, what ended up happening was they wouldn't let him or any of the members of his group to go into the pyramid. And he was like, what? What are you talking about? We've been doing this for years. Why are you saying that now we can't do it? You think we stealing, things all out of the pyramid or something? Like there's gold in there or something like that? What are you talking about? Why don't you let us in? He said, no, you cannot enter. You cannot enter. You know, and what happened was he ended up being able to sneak inside the pyramid. And what he saw was something that he was, like, really upset about. But what happened was he saw people inside the pyramid where you had African people, which were black people. You know, this was in Africa, you know, and they were all being painted white. And I was like, what? He came back and told people that, you know, that was really a mind-blower to see that that was something that they, again, did not want our people to know, that we did a lot of great and historic and wonderful things in the world before we ever, ever became slaves, you know? And that was something that, again, they did not want you to know. Because in order to keep people down and out so that you can control them, you have to have them look and see themselves in a very negative sense. And that's when they put out a lot of negative things about us, telling us that we were mentally, you know, incapable of doing things, that we as a people, you know, couldn't actually achieve much and different things of that sort. And the reason why we couldn't was because, again, we were just mentally incapable, you know. And these were things that, you know, we were told, and unfortunately a lot of our people were brainwashed into that. And that's one of the reasons why today even you see a lot of our folks in poverty and things of that sort. But the bottom line is that we are definitely not people that, you know, were incapable of doing things. If you look at the history of your people, that will inspire you to know that you're capable of doing great and wonderful things. Because like I said, even with the spaceship, you know, we were the first ones to come up with how to build a spaceship and how to go from planet Earth to other planets and things of that sort. And that was really a great and wonderful thing to see that our people had accomplished something so great. But the bottom line was we were told that, no, you guys don't have any kind of, smart enough mentality to ever do anything like that. You guys are, the only thing you guys can do is grow, you know, fruits and vegetables and things of that sort. And that's basically, you know, the best things you guys have ever done in the world, grow fruits and vegetables, and that's it, you know. I'm like, what? You know, these are some of the things we were told. And again, that was because how can you control people if they know that they're in the past, their history shows that they had achieved great and, you know, wonderful things on this planet. And then you're going to tell them that, you know, they're incapable. You know, that's a conflict right there, because one part is your history is showing you one thing, that you've done great and fantastic things. And then now somebody else is trying to tell you that, no, you've never done any great things and you're never going to be capable of doing great things. And that's one of the reasons why in our schools we do not have a history of what we've done in the past. That was great and wonderful things, whether it's building pyramids, whether it's even being here in the United States and having pyramids that are scattered across the United States that was built by African people thousands of years ago. But the thing about it is this information was never shared with our people. And that's a sad thing to know, that you as a people have done all of these great things, but your truth and proof of what you've done in the past is not allowed to be shared with you. And things like that, you know, can cause, you know, people not to really know whether they've ever done anything that was great in the past, whether they're even capable of doing great and wonderful and fantastic things. But that's one of the reasons why we do need to know our history. And, you know, these are things that, like I said, you know, black historians weren't the only ones that shared this. Like Google, you know, spoke on this, and they wouldn't let you go into the pyramid. And that was another thing that showed you that they didn't want you to see inside the pyramid, because if you saw inside the pyramid and saw black faces in there, then you would know that these people were the ones that built these pyramids, but they didn't want you to know that. And that's one of the reasons why people were forbidden to go into the pyramids. They could see it from the outside, but but you could not go in on the inside. So these are things that, you know, our people need to start to get an idea of what were some of the things that we did, you know, as a people, the fact that we were here in America thousands of years ago, built pyramids, had huge populations of people in, you know, different areas here in the United States. And also, you know, we also had, cities and different things here. And, you know, the thing about it was when the Europeans came and they did fight against, you know, not only they called them the original Americans, which were the Native American Indians, but there was also African tribes that were here that were, you know, also fighting with the Native Americans to stop, you know, Native American Indians, that is, to stop the, takeover of this country. But unfortunately, they did lose that at that time because the, Europeans did have guns and cannons and things like that. And our folks were dealing at that time with, you know, spears and arrows and things of that sort. So, you know, when you compare the two together, you know, they had an advantage to take over, you know. But the bottom line was our people were here first. And that's something that was not taught to us. And that's something that we should know. And, what you do know, you know, that your people did have the ability to create great, awesome, and amazing things. It will inspire your youth and even your adults to know that these are things that we are capable of doing. These are things that we can and will be able to do. But, you know, if we are the ones that the responsibility of this is supposed to be shared with our people, because if you're going to just keep your people in a down and out historic, you know, teaching that, you know, the greatest thing that black people ever did in this world was be slaves for white people, and that's not true. That's a lie. Our people did awesome and amazing things, and we even helped, you know, white people when they were down and out in Europe. So there was a big disease that was going on in Europe at the time, and basically, one of the problems was that they didn't get rid of the toxicity after they ate food. They just left a lot of the garbage, you know, lying around where they live, and also even the waste from the body and things of that sort. And when that happened, you know, those toxins ended up causing a disease that ended up killing a huge population of Europeans. But African people did go and try to see what they could do to help them out. And they told them that they needed to separate themselves from all of this waste and toxins and, you know, dump this stuff, you know, a couple of miles away from where you live. It can't be in your backyard or on the side of your house and different things like that. And after they made that adjustment, that's when they were able to get rid of that disease that could have killed the majority of the people there. But anyway, these are things that we did as well, but none of these things are ever shared as well, you know. And there's other things that we've done as well, you know, but there's a long list of things. But the bottom line is that, you know, we as a people just need to know that we are not incapable people that cannot hardly ever achieve great success in life. And that the reason why these things are as, you know, backed up on our people as they are, a lot of it is because even in the school system, unfortunately, you know, our kids are being told that they're special ed students. And when they're being told that they're special ed students, that means that you are mentally incapable and that you can't achieve much and you can't do much, you know. And when you're being told that, then when great opportunities come your way, you know, where you can make hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, a lot of times, you know, people are saying, what? Me make hundreds of thousands, millions? Get out of here, man. Our people can't do that. We're incapable. We can't do that. Get out of here. So the brainwashing of being told these kind of crazy things are things that we need to overcome. And that's one of the reasons why we need to start to teach the history of our people to our people so that they know what we have achieved in the past and our true identity, not as incapable folks that can't accomplish anything, but of people that have done great, awesome, and amazing things in this world and helped other people. And the thing about it is that even with us helping other people, we need to know about that. And once we do know and actually get into the reality of what we have achieved in life, that's a good thing, you know. So our history is very important. And the other thing that I really wanted to touch base on, not only just our history as a serious, motivating, and uplifting part that will really help our people out, the other thing that is very important is knowing that our spiritual power is real. We've been told that we don't have any spiritual power. We don't have the ability to do things and spiritually, and that's not true. You know, we have quite a few people in our community that are spiritual healers and, you know, that have done great things to help to save people's lives and help them overcome illnesses. You know, and one of the things that, you know, is very important too is the manifestation of wealth. We have the ability to manifest wealth, but the problem is you've been told that you can't do that. And because you've been told that, then basically that's going to stick in your mind as, you know, that's a brick wall that says, no, you can never cross into manifesting wealth because, you know, these are things you can't do. But that's not true. You know, and the other thing is ending violence in our community. That's something that we have the ability to do as well. But again, we've been told that we can't, you know. So all of these things are things that can be done through spiritual power that we do have inside of us. But the bottom line is that we need to wake up and be awakened to the fact that we do have spiritual power of God within us. Because, like I said before, if you take it for real on what was even said by Lord Jehovah, who was the father of Jesus the Christ, he said, hey, you are made in the likeness and in the image of God. And when you actually realize and know for a fact that you're made in the likeness and image of God, that is a great awakening. That can really open your mind, open your heart to actually start to really know that you're not just a limited human being, but that you are God-born. And there are other sources that speak about the same thing. The only problem is these things are not taught to us in the churches. We've been taught that we're sinners, and we need to overcome our sins and just try to live a positive and unsinful life, and that's basically what your goal should be in life, you know, nothing else, you know, just don't be a sinner. And not to say that, you know, no, you should be a sinner. You should go out and kill and stab and steal, and I don't know. We're not saying that they were wrong on that. That's a part of it, but that should not be the maximum focal point of what you should do. The other side of the coin is that when you look at this, you should also include the fact that you are a God being and have spiritual power that will allow you to be set free from a lot of the negativity that our people see ourselves in today. And once we start to realize that, as far as healing ourselves, as far as healing the lives of others, as far as manifesting wealth so that we can overcome and be set free from the slavery of poverty, also ending violence, you know, amongst our people and amongst other people that wish violence upon us as well. These are things that are very important because once we awaken to the fact that we have the ability to do these things, that's when we can actually move forward and make some of these great things come about. But the big problem is that when you're dealing with these type of situations and you're never being taught them, then it's very difficult for you to awaken to something that you don't even know that exists. And that's another thing that we really need to see what we can do to let our people know that they have the ability spiritually to do a lot of great, awesome, and amazing things. And when we come together, as we awaken ourselves in spiritual power to actually use that to help our people, we'll be able to set ourselves free from a lot of the negativity that you see that we're caught up in today. Slavery of poverty, a lot of the 20th century slavery, which is so many of our people are being placed in jail and are working while they're in jail to make chairs and tables, couches, you know, license plates, all kind of things, right? But the bottom line is that they're not getting paid a dime or a nickel for that, or not even a penny. And being that that's the case, that's what you call slavery. When you have somebody in jail for 5 or 10 years or 4 years, and those people are stuck in the prison cell, but every day they're making a chair, they're making tables, they're making other things for free. And when they're doing these kind of things for free, then basically that allows the people that are causing them to do these things, they're making millions upon billions of dollars off of the slavery of this 20th century slavery, which is saying, no, make this while you're in here. You just can't sit in your prison cell and just, you know, just sit on a bench there and just not do nothing. No, you have to do something, you know, and you're going to do what we tell you to do, and that's to make this and make that and make the other. And they're making millions of dollars and billions of dollars off of, unfortunately, people that are in the prison system. And many of them, unfortunately, are in there illegally because they're not even folks that have committed crimes. But the bottom line is the more masses of our people that they can throw into jail, the more money they can make. So that's what's important, you know, to them, not on whether they committed the crime. The main important thing is to put them in jail and get them to make labor come through for free. And that way they can make a lot of money off of you and me. And that's not a good thing. So these are things that we can stop, because we don't need to have, you know, terrible things like this going on. And also, even with our children, you know, having these crazy gang wars killing each other, you know, and as I've told you before, we were fortunate enough to actually end the gang war in the past. But the bottom line is that, you know, bringing that about now, you know, because we see that the gang wars have started up again, we need to see what we can do to come together in unity again, because at least at that time period, when we did reach out to the community, the majority of the people in our communities were willing to help us with that. We were able to get 150 people to join our group, and when we did, we went into the different schools, high schools and junior high schools, and when we did that, we were able to actually end the gang wars after we spoke to these kids about many of the negative things that they were doing by just killing each other, just so that they could say, hey, I'm the biggest and baddest gang in Brooklyn. I'm from the biggest and baddest gang in Mount Vernon. I'm from the biggest and baddest gang in Yonkers, you know. And these are things that were important to them, but if they had to kill 10 or 20 of their, you know, gang members that were in another gang opposite of them, it didn't make a difference. The main thing, they just wanted to be able to brag about the fact that their gang was in power over all these other gangs, and they'll be able to make millions of dollars by selling these drugs in our community and forcing the other gangs that they just defeated to actually sell the drugs for them and all kind of crazy stuff. But the bottom line is that these were things that were destroying our community, not making our community, you know, more powerful and wonderful and things of that sort. It was really destroying our community. And when we shared that with the youth, that they were not just to be here to be selfish kids that just wanted to, you know, make money, but to do it in a positive way, not in a negative way. Because when you're killing, you know, different people in our community just to make money and all this kind of crazy stuff, it's not a good thing. And they did finally get the message with that, and we were able to get a lot of the youth to come out of the gang because of that. The thing about it is, these are things that, you know, we as a people definitely need to deal with again, to teach our youth and speak to them again in the schools across the country that they need to stop this. And the other thing, which was the icing on the cake, was something that many times, unfortunately, because, again, of the brainwashing that we've been taught, that we do not have any spiritual power or spiritual ability to do anything, that means that what we need to do is just deal with things from a physical perspective or common sense perspective of what we should do, not to try to do anything from a spiritual perspective, but that don't make any sense. If you're going to do anything from a spiritual perspective, you're just wasting your time because you're never going to accomplish anything from a spiritual perspective. And that's not true. You do have spiritual power and ability, and you still have the ability to really stop, you know, gang wars, stop violence, you know, in families and all kinds of, you know, crazy things that are going on. So the thing about it is, you know, these are things that we need to look at and really start to acknowledge that these are things that we can do. But the only way that we can really do them is by utilizing this as another way that we can change the negative things that we're seeing in our lives. And if we can really start to really focus on our spiritual ability and spiritual power, then we can utilize that as well. So a combination of physical things that we would do to and practical things that we can do to bring about positive change is a good thing to do. But also not to overlook our spiritual ability to actually bring about positive change as well. Because as we start to focus on our spiritual ability and really start to utilize it, and what happened with us in the gang wars, which was the icing on the cake, we had a visit by Jesus the Christ, and he came to us, and because we were having a meditation group, you know, groups in the schools, and which was helping them academically, and it was also helping them mentally in regards to getting rid of a lot of the strength, tension, and anger that they had within them, whether it was towards themselves or whether it was towards other people. And it really helped a lot of them calm down and come out of that negativity of, you know, wanting to actually, you know, try to hurt or, you know, destroy the lives of other people, which was a good thing, you know, and I was really glad to see that come about as well. But the other side of it is that's really important with that was when Jesus came to one of our students. And it really blew my mind because I didn't know that, you know, Jesus was going to come to her and share this. But, you know, she said that she saw Jesus in her meditation and she was in a ball of light. And when he walked out of the ball of light, he was a black man. And I said, wow, that's interesting. So I said, oh, okay. So now you know what it actually says in the Bible. It said he had woolly hair, he had brown skin and all of this. Fortunately, these are things that are not taught to us in the Bible either. You know, we're not supposed to know that Jesus was a black man. But she said, yeah, I never knew that. I never knew that Jesus was black. I always thought he was white. And every time I saw a picture of Jesus, he was a white man. You know, I said, hey, but now you see the truth, the true color that he is, sis. So that's what it is. And she said, wow, that's interesting. So I said, okay, so that was what happened to you last night when you had that meditation experience with Jesus? He said, no, that wasn't it. The thing that was really important was that he wanted me to share this message with you. I said, share a message with you? What are you talking about? She said that Jesus said, if we focus on seeing the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ Jesus in the hearts and minds of these knucklehead gangbangers that want to kill each other and want to, you know, just destroy each other's lives. He said that Jesus would reach into their minds and hearts and cleanse all of that negativity out of them, and they would no longer have the desire to kill each other anymore or to just try to destroy each other's lives. And I said, wow, that's what Jesus told you? He said, yeah, he wants you to, the different, you know, meditation groups that you have in the different schools, he wants you to share that with your students and for you to focus on that and tell them to do that, to visualize the divine light of God and Christ going into these guys' minds and hearts, and we'll be able to cleanse them and stop the gang wars, he said. I said, wow. I said, that sounds wonderful. I said, you know what? I'm definitely going to try to do this and see what we can do with this. He said, okay, let's do it, you know. So basically, that's what we did. We did focus on that, and we was doing that for about 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks' time came through, the gang wars were over. There was no more violence. There was no more murdering. And it wasn't just like, okay, this year they didn't kill each other, but 2 years later there was another big gang war that started up all over again. No, none of that never occurred. We're talking about for years down the line, we didn't have any murdering occur. Now, there was one sister, and I think that that was maybe about 8 years. Yeah, about 8 or 9 years after, because that was in 2010 when the gang war ended, right? But about 8 years later, in 2018, yeah, what ended up happening with that, there was a young lady that was a basketball star, and she was really good in basketball. And they were like saying, hey, you know, they know that she's going to end up probably getting on, you know, the adult, you know, basketball teams, you know, as a basketball player, because the colleges were like, to her and trying to see if they could get her to come to their college because they saw how good she was. But the bottom line is that she ended up getting killed. And she got killed by two gang groups. One was on one side of the street on 3rd Street, and one was on the other side of the street. And they were arguing with each other. But then eventually what ended up happening, they got angry at each other, and they started pulling out their guns to shoot each other. And when they started shooting at each other, unfortunately, the sister I'm talking to you about, who actually was a great basketball player and had achieved a lot of things in basketball, she actually was with her mother, and her mother was driving a car down the street on 3rd Street, and then they started shooting at each other. And, you know, unfortunately, one of the bullets were in her head, and I think the other one was in her shoulder. But the bottom line is the one that went in her head actually killed her. And that was, like, really sad to see because, you know, these guys, you know, were stuck on trying to kill each other. And it didn't matter whether, you know, people got in the way of their bullets shooting at each other. The bottom line was they were just going to keep shooting at each other and hopefully kill each other. But, you know, that was the other side of it. None of them got killed because when they were on the other side of the streets, they were hiding behind cars and all this kind of crazy stuff. But the bottom line was she got killed. Her mother didn't get killed or shot, which was good, you know, so at least she survived. But, you know, her daughter did get killed. And that came about, but these guys that were in the gangs that were doing this, they were not in the high school, you know, and they were not in the junior high school. And that's the groups that we were focused on, you know, dealing with, you know, the high school kids and the junior high school kids, because that's where the violence, the masses of violence is at, you know. Majority of the kids that were shooting and killing each other in these gangs were in the high schools and in the junior high schools. So we weren't really dealing with the young adults that were, you know, 20, 25, 23 years old, and, you know, 26, you know, around that age, you know, cycle. These guys were the ones that were still, you know, doing some things with that. And it wasn't as great as it was before, because when you took all of the high school and junior high school youth out of the picture, it calmed down the violence and the murdering greatly. But the bottom line was, you know, the young adults, you know, still did violence off and on. You know, it wasn't something that went on, you know, on a regular. But, you know, that situation did come about. But that was the only high school youth that was murdered, you know, dealing with anything having to do with gangs. But it didn't have anything to do with gangs in the high school or the junior high schools. And I was really glad to see that none of the high school or junior high school kids were involved with that, you know. So basically our program, you know, helped the ending of the murdering of high school or junior high school kids for many years, you know. And, you know, basically myself, I was in the school system for about 12, 13 years. And being that that was the case, one of the great things that, you know, came about with that was that, you know, we were able to really put an end to the gang war with that. And after Jesus came to us and shared with us about the ending of how we could actually end the gang wars by envisioning the divine love of God in the minds and hearts of all these guys, that would really help even bring that to an end. So I was really glad to see that part, you know, because it was very powerful. It was very spiritual, and yet it definitely worked. It wasn't a thing that it might work, it, you know, maybe it could work, or nothing like that. It was something where it did work, and I was really glad to see that that came about. And that's why I'm saying now, if we can use spiritual power in the past to bring about the ending of gang wars, the stopping of the Ku Klux Klan, or, you know, these racist police officers from killing our people, and then the gang wars amongst our youth, these are things that would be good, because we don't need to see our people lynched up on trees. We don't need to see, you know, our people in handcuffs and then, you know, have four or five bullets in them from racist police officers, and they're saying, well, the reason why I had to kill him was because he was looking like he wanted to escape from the handcuffs and he was going to try to kill me, so I had to shoot him and kill him. Like, yeah, right. You know, how you gonna put handcuffs on somebody and they just gonna slip out of the handcuffs with no problem, you know? If that was the case, you know, handcuffs wouldn't even be, you know, something that people would use to, you know, lock people up and stuff and try to, you know, tie them up so that they, you know, couldn't be a threat to you. But anyway, you know, many times that was something that was said, that even with handcuffs on and, you know, police officer ended up shooting and killing the person in handcuffs, you know, that was said that that person was getting ready to get a gun out of their pocket and shoot you. It's like, how are you going to do that? Your hands are behind your back, and you can't even put your hands in your pocket, really. You know, and you're going to take a gun and shoot somebody. Anyway, the system is set up so that when these police officers say these lies about why they killed our people to protect themselves, and majority of the time that wasn't even the case, the bottom line is majority of them never did a week, a day, a month in jail behind destroying and killing our people. And these are things that, you know, we as a people need to know, that we don't need to have, you know, that type of situation going on. We should be in a state of peace with all people, not only with our children being in a state of peace of mind with us, not only our adults, but even whether it's whites, whether it's Asian, whether it's Hispanics, or all people. We need to be able to bring about what they call world peace. And these are things that can come about. The only problem with bringing about world peace is that in order for something like world peace to really come about, we need to come together in unity and in harmony, not to come together to fight it out, not to come together to curse each other out and all that kind of crazy stuff, but come together to really talk about how we can be a blessing to each other, how we can help each other, and how we can bring about world peace. Because when you look around the world today, the thing that's really sad to see is that every day in the United States and other countries around the world, you got people murdering each other, stealing from each other, raping each other, you know, just verbally destroying each other and physically destroying each other's lives. And we don't need to have that kind of madness and craziness. And then the other piece that I left out, which is really another serious problem, so they said that, you know, since they had the serious health issue with the vaccine and all of that, and, you know, the terrible disease that was, you know, here in the United States and also around the world, the bottom line is that a lot of people lost their jobs, lost their businesses, and, you know, just really lost, you know, a lot of money and were caught up into poverty where they were doing well financially before this thing occurred. And a lot of people ended up committing suicide because they just couldn't stand the fact that they were living now in a situation where financially they were in a terrible situation. So these were things that are occurring not only in the past, but this is something that is on, you know, American people, you know, right now. And these are things that we can overcome. But again, coming together in unity with our people first and trying to see what we can do spiritually to free ourselves from poverty and from murdering, whether it's from our people murdering each other or other people outside of our people murdering our people. And these are things that we need to, you know, focus on and see what we can do and try to reach out and help each other, because this system is not really set up truly to help us. It looks like it is, you know, but it's really not. And the thing about it is, if you rely on a program or on a person that claims they're going to help you, and then when it comes time for them to really help you, they're not helping you, then that's where the problem lies. You know, but when you have a situation where you're capable of helping yourself and freeing yourself from poverty and negative thinking and now freeing yourself from a positive perspective, that's where we should be as a people. And then the other side is something that we overlook too many times, and those are the two things that I mentioned to you before. Knowing our history of the past and knowing that that history of our people is something that was very awesome and amazing, because we did things that in the past that were really great and fantastic. But the bottom line is, all of those things that we were able to achieve and do in the past were never told to us. Even like I said, in the United States, I never knew that we had pyramids here in the United States. You know, and most of the people that I spoke to about this said, what? We got pyramids in the United States that we built? Get out of here, really? And then I thought I would check with, Google, and they'll let you know. And they got back to me and told me, yeah, no, you're right. They did say there's pyramids in the United States. Wow, that's really something. That blew my mind. I said, hey, it blew mine when I heard it. Because, you know, I mean, you would think something like that would have been taught to you either in junior high school, elementary, or even in high school. But the bottom line is, it wasn't taught to us in none of our school teachings. And none of that was ever supposed to be known to you. None of that, you know. And like I said, even though that lets you know where those different pyramids are in the different states, the bottom line is you can't go in those pyramids. They will not allow you to go in. And the reason why, because they know who you're going to see on those walls and stuff, and, you know, they don't want you to see that. So these are things that, you know, are very important, you know, because once you know your history as a people and that you were capable of doing great things, you know, in the past, and also that you have not only the historical, you know, knowledge of who you are, and it shows that you are not an incapable and, you know, a very limited person that you can't hardly do nothing, you know, but no, it shows that, hey, you and your people did great things in the past, so you can do great things in the present, you know, and once people know that kind of stuff, it really has a huge impact on what you can do in the present. And the other side, like I said, which is very important, is the spiritual side of who you are and what you can do. Because once you start to know that you are, as Lord Jehovah said, made in the likeness and image of God, and even Jesus said something that was very powerful, and that statement was something that was a mind-blower too. He said, the things I do in life, I've done in life, you can do and even more. The things I do, you can do and even more. And that's really even powerful because Jesus did some great, awesome, and amazing things. He resurrected people from the dead. He was able to walk on water. He was able to disappear and reappear. He was able to, you know, save the lives of the sick and the dying. He was able to do a lot of great, awesome, and amazing things. But he said, guess what? You can do that too, you know? And it's like, what? I can do that? Get out of here. I've been told that I'm incapable. I can't do nothing like that. And that's the thing. When you've been told something like that from childhood on up into adulthood, that you don't have spiritual power, your history of who you are shows that you're just very incapable people that have never really accomplished much of anything in life, you know, that's something that's, you know, weighing you down into not feeling that you can do anything in the present. But once you, that's why I say, you know, it's the old saying that says, the truth just sets you free. And that's very powerful because it's true. The God's honest truth can definitely set you free. But when God's telling you that you are a God being, that you are made in the likeness and image of God, that can set you free. When Jesus is telling you that the things that he's done, you can do and even more, that can definitely set you free. And these are things that we just need to know that we're capable of doing. So anyway, what I just wanted to talk about today, it's wake up day. It's a day that we really need to wake up and to acknowledge that we are a people that have the power to do great, awesome, amazing things, even though we've been told that we haven't. And I know some of you may have tried it, you know, once or twice and said, oh, I don't know if that can ever really happen. But I'm telling you, I've experienced it. Because as myself, being someone that has dealt with these things, has really blown my mind in dealing with this, is the fact that when you can help people that are on their deathbed. Because I helped one brother that I know, and he was someone that I've known for a while, you know, and it was a trip because I was doing a meditation, and Jesus came to me in the meditation, and he said, you need to call this person tomorrow morning and speak with him. And I said, really? I said, what's the deal with him? Why is it so important for me to call him tomorrow morning? He said, when you speak with him, he will reveal to you what you need to know. I said, really? I said, okay, I'll call him. So the next day I did it. I called him, and when I did call him, the funny thing about it was that I didn't know where he was at. I thought he would probably be at home or maybe at work or, you know, something like that. But when I spoke with him, he was in the hospital, and he was really sick, very sick, you know. So when I spoke to him, he was saying, oh, man. I said, what's wrong with you, man? He sounded terrible. What are you doing? Where are you at? He said, I'm in the hospital, man. I'm in so much pain. My whole body is filled with pain. I don't think I'm going to make it throughout the day. I'm still out of it. I said, really? You feel that? I said, wow, now I know why Jesus told me to call you. Because Jesus came to me in my meditation last night, and he told me to call you this morning. And now I know why he wanted me to call you. He said, yeah, Jesus told you that. I said, yes. He said, we need to do the meditation now. He said, okay, let's do the meditation. You know, and that's what we did. We did the meditation together. And when we did the meditation and we ended it in about a half an hour, what ended up happening, he said all of his pain in his body was gone. All of the pain. Not like, oh, yeah, I just got a little pain on this side or this and that. No. All of the pain in his body was gone. Whereas before, he said it was an extreme pain. It wasn't like slight pain or a little pain. He said it was extreme pain, and he felt like he was about to die. And I was like, wow. And then when we did the meditation from having to leave that body that day, that he was getting ready to definitely call it a day, whether he wanted to or not. You know, he was in a situation where he had to go. But the bottom line is, through Christ sharing that with me and allowing me to utilize the spiritual power of Christ Jesus and God to heal this person, we were able to do that. And we were also, I was sharing with him how he can also utilize that healing power. And we were envisioning that power healing him and flowing through him and, you know, just getting rid of all of that pain. And that worked. So that was just one of quite a few people that we had some serious, you know, issues with health-wise, and we were ready and able to help them. And I never forget the sister, and it was really sad with her because she was a person that was in jail, and unfortunately, when she was in jail, she, you know, was told that, hey, you know, you got to go to the courthouse, and, you know, your time has come up now for you to know how much longer you're going to be in jail. And the judge is going to let you know that you got to go to the courthouse. So we're taking you from jail, and we're bringing you to the courthouse. So that's what ended up happening. She ended up getting into the bus with other, you know, people that were from the jail. And they were going to the courthouse to find out about their time on how much longer they were going to, you know, be in jail, whether it was a few years, a few months, what. You know, the bottom line was, you know, that's what the judge is going to tell you. Anyway, what ended up happening while she was on that journey to the courthouse, the bus driver, he ran into a situation where he avoided a terrible accident. And with him trying to avoid that terrible accident, he had to slam on the brakes on the bus. And when he slammed on the brakes on the bus to avoid that accident, unfortunately, her head slammed into the steel, dividers for the windows. So when you're on a bus, you can see that, you know, all those windows are in a steel frame, you know. And being that they are in a steel frame to hold those windows in place, you know, that's, you know, what she slammed her head against, not the glass, because if it was the glass, you know, it may not have been as serious, and he probably would have cut her side of the head up there, you know, because the glass would have probably broken up on her. But the bottom line is, her head hit the steel frame, and when it did, it caused a concussion in her head. And the thing about it, she went to the judge and, you know, told him he was in a lot of pain because of this concussion and everything. And he told her, yeah, don't worry about it. You know, you go back and tell your people about that, and you'll be okay. Don't worry. And anyway, he said that another 3 months, you know, she had to stay in jail. And after those 3 months were over, she could go even, you know, back to her home and all of that. So anyway, make a long story short, that was the situation. She was going back you know, to the prison after she went to court. And when she did, she shared that with the head people of the prison and let them know that she was in extreme pain. And that, you know, she needed help because she had to get rid of this pain because it was tearing her mind up and it was driving her crazy. She said she needed to get rid of this stuff. And, you know, they said, oh, yeah, yeah, don't worry about that. We'll definitely take care of that for you. You will be able to, you know, see a doctor in the next day or so. And, you know, you'll also be able to be given some medical, you know, painkiller to get rid of that pain in your head. And she said, okay, no problem. I'll wait to see the doctor tomorrow. And the thing about it was like she couldn't even believe it, but it was 2 weeks later, and she had never seen the doctor and never got any medical painkiller stuff to get rid of, you know, the pain that she was going through in her head. And she couldn't even believe that, you know, they ignored her for 2 weeks without her even getting any medical attention. And the thing about it, she was saying it felt like a hot, burning knife was going into her head, and it was stirring up inside her brain. You know, she said she was at the point where she just couldn't take it anymore. She felt like she was about to lose her mind. And she said the pain was so great. She just didn't believe that these guys were doing this to her, that they wanted to, you know, just totally ignore her and let her lose her mind. And I guess then, because she would have lost her mind, but she had a pretty smile and a pretty body, that they were going to be able to, you know, have sex with her, you know, and there was nothing she was going to do because she wouldn't even know how to call anybody or who to call or anything like that because she would have lost her mind. But anyway, make a long story short, she came on, I was on a radio show in Brooklyn, and I was talking about spiritual power of healing medication and how it helped a lot of people, you know, in dealing with that. And, you know, if anybody was interested, I gave out my number and, you know, told them to call me and we'll see what we could do. So anyway, when they had a business with her, she called me right after we ended the show. And she said, listen, I'm in serious pain here in my head. And it's been like this for like a whole 2 weeks. And I'm in prison right now, but you guys keep telling me that they're going to have a doctor see me and they're going to have me with some pain relief medicine. And I haven't gotten none of that yet. And the pain is just getting worse and worse. And I just can't take it anymore. This is like ridiculous, man. I don't know why they're doing this to me. They're totally ignoring me. They're acting like they want me to go insane. And I was like, wow. I said, I hear you, sis. I said, well, that's something that happens sometimes from what I hear in prison, you know, the way that they treat our people. She said, yeah, but I want to find out from you. Do you think that your meditation can help me out? I said, yeah, we could do that. She said, well, when can we do it? When can you come here? Because, I mean, now it's late afternoon, so, you know, by the time you want to come here and visit me, it'd be too late. So we'd have to wait till tomorrow. Could you do it tomorrow? I said, no, we could do it now. We could do it over the phone and see what we could do with that. And let's see what we can do. So what we did the healing meditation over the phone. And after we finished with that, what ended up happening was, you know, she was telling me that, yes, I do feel somewhat better, but I still have the pain. But it's you know, really gone down quite a bit. And I'm really glad that that happened. I said, yeah, but sometimes, you know, you can't do it all in just one session. Sometimes you have to do it in several sessions, 3 or 4 sessions, 5 sessions, you know. But the bottom line is, let's get together and do this tomorrow and see what we can do as well over the phone, just like we just did today. She said, okay, I'll call you back and we'll do it. I said, okay, no problem. So we set up a time and she called me back. And then when she called me back, we did the healing meditation again. And at the end of the healing meditation, again, she said, wow. I said, I feel a lot better now, but I still feel the pain in my head. But it's not as bad as it was. I mean, before, it was really bad. Now it's really going down quite a bit, but I still feel some pain there, and I still need to get rid of it. I said, okay, tomorrow, let's do it tomorrow as well, because it seems like this is working for you, because you're saying that each time we do the meditation, you're feeling less and less pain, which is good. So hopefully, you know, in the next, you know, one or two more sessions or three sessions, the bottom line is we'll get rid of the pain. She said, okay, let's see what we can do tomorrow. So we set up a time again. We did the healing meditation again, and this was the third session, and this was the last session. So after we did that healing meditation, she said, wow, I really don't have any pain at all in my head now. It's all gone. I really feel great with this. I'm really glad we did the healing meditation. But I know I was about to lose my mind. That pain was so great, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, no, I hear you, sis. And I'm really glad to see that, you know, the healing meditation really had a nice impact on healing you and, you know, blessing you to overcome all of that. So that's good. So she was someone that, you know, really, was serious about wanting to get herself healed before, because she felt like she was at the end stage of her situation as well, because she said, you know, 2 weeks, can you imagine having 2 weeks of intense pain surging through your mind and just filling your whole mind and body with all that pain? I mean, oof. So the pain was really in her head, but the bottom line was it was just outstanding, and she was saying that she just couldn't take it anymore. She was on the verge of just totally losing her mind. And I was really thankful in utilizing the healing meditation that we were able to really come to a point where it took three sessions of doing separate sessions of doing the healing meditation, but it actually healed her and got all of that pain out of her mind and set her free from losing her mind. And I was really glad to see that. So all I can say is healing can be something that we can do, even though we've been told that these are things that we can never do. If you're not going to put 8 years into medical, you know, a psychiatrist or something, then forget it. It's not going to work. And it's not, we don't even want to recognize it. So that doesn't even make any sense. You know, either you're going to do it our way or forget it. And when you're dealing with it spiritually, through God, through Christ, through Allah, through Krishna, whoever your spiritual connection is, the bottom line is that you can use that spiritual power to really bring about, you know, some serious and awesome change in helping to save the lives of people and helping to help people overcome serious ailments and illnesses that they have. So these are things that I don't think or I read about or something like that. These are things I experienced myself. So I know these are things that we can do. And the only thing that, you know, is separating us from as a people being able to deal with spiritual healing, you know, as something that most of us or all of us can do, is that we've been told that we can't do it. But there are, I mean, I'm not the only spiritual healer. There are a number of spiritual healers in our community that are out there, but, you know, a lot of them we don't know about because we've been told to ignore them and just deal with your medical doctor, you know, and that's it. But that's the other side of it. Use the power of God within you, and you have the ability to turn a lot of negative things that are going on in your life or in the lives of others that can really be very helpful. But again, if you don't believe that you even have that ability, how the heck are you going to be able to tap into your spiritual healing power if you don't even really believe that you have it? And that's really a part of, unfortunately, the negative lies that we've been told over the years from childhood to adulthood that we can't do these things. And because most of us, unfortunately, do believe that we can't do it, then that's what happens. We don't do it. But these are things that we can do. And again, and coming together in spiritual unity, these are things that can really help our community as well. But another thing that happened, you know, there was a brother that was in Baltimore, and he, you know, had a terrible gang war that was going on, where there was about 3 or 5 kids that just got murdered from another gang, you know, when they had a little gang war there, you know, with shooting and stabbing and all that kind of crazy stuff. But anyway, bottom line was the other gang said, okay, we're going to seek revenge on these knuckleheads, and we're going to try to see if we can kill all these knuckleheads in that gang. And that following weekend, they were talking about having that happen. And luckily, we actually did do a brother, you know, he came to us and said, I heard about your healing meditation and the good results you guys had in New York. But now that, you know, in Baltimore, we got this terrible gang war going on and kids are killing each other, we want to see if we could end this situation in the Baltimore area. And I wanted to see if, instead of this weekend, hear about, you know, maybe 20 or 30 kids or maybe even more being killed by this other gang. Because I even heard that they bought machine guns and they're going to go to where the other gang is going to have a meeting. And then when they, you know, see them there, they're going to try to gun all of them down. And he said, we don't even want that to happen, but I'm wondering if the meditation can help. I said, definitely, we could see what we could do with that, man. I have a feeling that we could definitely end that. So what we ended up doing, we had about, at that time, we had about 20 people that were a part, that were adults. Out of the 150, we had about 20 of them that were serious people that were part of our inner circle that, you know, were people that really felt confident that we could do meditation and actually bring about positive change with it. And some of the people, they didn't really feel that this could really happen kind of thing. And they were more into, like, no, let me go into the schools and talk to these kids. This can have a huge impact on their lives. But what you're talking about, I don't know about that part, you know. So some of them really didn't feel the spiritual side of it, but they just felt the practical side was a good thing. And I wasn't going to argue with them about the practical side because in going to the school, we were able to get, like I said earlier, about 65 to 70% of those kids out of the gangs. And that was a good thing. But then there were the, you know, the hard-head knuckleheads that were saying, no, I don't care. I don't care how many speeches you want to give me. You're wasting your time. We done made up our minds. We're going to stay with this, and we're going to be the biggest and baddest gang, whether it's in Mount Vernon and Yonkers and the Bronx or wherever. But the bottom line is we are not going to come out of the gang. And that was, like I said earlier, the 30 to 35% of the students that were caught up into this stuff that didn't want to listen to what we had to say. They were stuck in wanting to be a little black mafia that wanted to, you know, stay with, you know, the selling of drugs and, you know, fighting and killing of each other and all that kind of crazy stuff. But anyway, we were able to get rid of all of that through doing the meditation together, you know, in regards to in our community. And then with the brother in Baltimore, and with that weekend almost there, we ended up doing a meditation on Thursday. And that Thursday, that was the day that we, you know, got together with his group of people. And he brought 5 people on from Baltimore with us to do the meditation with us. So we had about 25 people all together. And what ended up happening, we all focused on the divine love of God in Christ going into those kids' minds and hearts in Baltimore to stop them from trying to kill each other over the weekend and trying to stop the gang war altogether as well. Anyway, what ended up happening that weekend, you know, he did get back to me on Sunday and he told me that there was no violence between those two gangs. And that the gang that swore that they were going to seek revenge on the other gang didn't do anything against them. you know, and that was great. I was really glad to see and to hear that, because, you know, to hear that, yeah, you know, 15, 20, 30 kids got killed, you know, that's not good to hear. I know for some people, they're like, oh, good, some more niggas got killed, those young knuckleheads got killed. I'm really glad to hear that. You know, so you do hear from certain people that are very glad to hear that, that are racist. But when we're talking about the lives of our children, we don't need to hear that the lives of our children just went down the drain because we didn't do anything to try to prevent something like that from happening. But we focused on that, 25 people, and when that was the case, this was all adults at that time. Because when we were doing that with the youth, what Jesus told us, we had, wow, we had about maybe about 80 or 100 kids, you know, from the different meditation groups, because we had several different meditation groups, and it was like, you know, 20 kids, 25, 15 in another group, you know, but the bottom line is, you know, there's a number of different groups that we were dealing with in the high schools and in the junior high school. But with the 25 adults that were focused on this, we had enough people to make that happen. And that's why I know if we can get that going again, that would be great. And right now what I'm in the process of doing is actually putting together another meditation group. And what I would like to do is just put it out there for those that would be interested in being a part of our meditation group right now. Not folks that don't feel it's not going to work and this is probably a waste of time. I'm talking about folks that know that the power of God to us and that we know that we have the ability to use it, but we've been told that we don't have the ability. But you don't have to hear the lies of Satan and believe his lies. You can believe the truth of God and know that God's truth is for real. Because like I said, I wouldn't have never been able to heal as many people as I healed over the years if it wasn't for my God-given power. And I know that I would have never been able to stop the gang war if it wasn't for my God-given power as well. And not only that, but I do thank the community of people that came from across the country. So we had speakers that came from California. We had speakers that came from Chicago, Atlanta. We had speakers that came from Virginia, from Philly. You know, we had people came from Newark, New Jersey. They were speakers that were from across the country, major black cities across this country. And I was really very glad that we were able to get a large number of participants. Because sometimes when you're putting a group of people together, sometimes you only end up with 10 or 15 or 20 people. But we were able to get 150 people in our group, and that was really very powerful. But when we went into the schools, we brought 60, 50, sometimes 70 or 80 people into the different schools. And we had speakers that spoke in the auditorium, and then we had speakers that spoke in the different classrooms. But now, again, not only did the practical part work, but coming back on the spiritual part, that worked as well. And all I can say to you is that we should not overlook it. We should not overlook our history as well. But right now, I'm focusing on us coming together spiritually to end these gang wars and to stop a lot of the violence and to see what we can do to manifest wealth and to do other positive things to help our people. But how can we do any of that if our people are still saying, I don't want to waste my time with that? You know, that's crazy. We do have the ability. So all I'm saying is anyone interested in coming on board with me, the serious people that believe we can truly make this happen, you can always give me a call at this number. The phone number that you can reach me at is 914-979-6372. That's 914-979-6372. Call me at that number. Again, 914-979-6372. And in calling me at that number, that would be a good thing, because what will happen is I'll be able to speak with you, and if you're serious about doing this, then I'll bring you into our inner circle of spiritual healers and meditators that will be doing this, and we'll be focused on different, you know, problems that we have with our youth to really see that what we can do to end these gang wars, to end the violence in our community, and, you know, do some other great and wonderful things that can really bring about positive change for our people. So all I can say to you is these are things that we can definitely do. It's not even a question of, do you really think this can happen? It already has happened before, so I know it can happen again in the present. The only thing that stops a person from not being able to do it is that they don't believe that this is something they can achieve, but they can achieve it. And I know the brainwashing has been there for many years telling you that no, you can't. But the honest to God's truth is that you were made in the likeness and image of God, and you have the ability to do these things. So don't listen to the Satan's lies that are flipping into people's minds today. Listen to the God-given truth, because, as I said earlier, the truth shall set you free and would allow you to truly be able to have an opportunity to really bring about some awesome, positive, and wonderful things in your life and in the lives of others. But if you're going to hold on to Satan's lies that's telling you that you can't, that you never will, just stay in the chains of poverty and don't try to come out because you're wasting your time and just be glad that you're stuck, you know, and try to survive. And that's not the mindset that you should be in. You should be in a mindset where you are setting yourself free from all negativity. You should be in a mindset where you are actually seeing yourself being able to help your brothers and your sisters that are in extreme pain and suffering here in this country and in different parts of the world. But the bottom line is, all of that does not need to exist for our people. We have the ability to stop the madness. And the thing about it is, our ultimate goal is to bring about world peace, where, you know, right now, Russia and Ukraine and all these other places, you know, different countries, you have people at each other's throats. Clearly, the Nazis and the Jews, and also the Jews and the Muslims, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on different people that are killing each other because of either their religion, their country that they're from, the color of their skin, all kind of crazy things. But these things have been going on for years. But we can bring about world peace as well. And once we focus on seeing good results in some of the things that we've done in our community and in other communities so that we can really come together in unity, that would be great. Anyway, again, that number is 914-979-6372. That's 914-979-6372. And I'm very glad we had a chance to go over these two things, because these are things that are very, very powerful and very needed in order for our people to be able to really rise up out of the negativity that they've experienced in the past and in the present. So all I can say is our time has come to see a new reality, but we just have to see what we can do to bring about that new reality. And each and every one of you are worthy of receiving it. But the bottom line is that you do not want to keep your mind in that negative mindset telling you that you can't be set free from negativity or poverty. These are lies that have been told to you in the past, and you do not need to believe it. Great success and wonderful things are what you can now achieve. But one of the main objectives of what you need to do is to truly believe. And that's the thing. And we'll go over all of this again and see what we can do, because now is the time for a new reality once again to come about. And it can come about beyond a shadow of a doubt, that only if our people are willing to accept the truth of their true identity as God beings and not just human beings that are very limited and are incapable. These are things you do not have to accept from the lies of Satan. But what you need to do is accept the truth from the truth of God, the God's honest truth. These are things that you need to accept. And if we can accept the God's honest truth, then that would be a great thing. We'll begin to see great, awesome, and amazing things come about without a doubt. So with that being said, I just want to tell everybody, for all those who are listening on the line right now, that I'm just very glad to see that we had this great and wonderful ability to come together, even on this call. But the other thing is, we have the ability also to tear down the negative wall of negativity that is causing us all these different problems that exist. And once we do that, we'll be able to experience a life filled with joy, happiness, and bliss. But the only thing is, we have to start to let go of the lies of the past and accept the truth of the present and allow ourselves to tap into our spiritual power of ability, so that we can set ourselves free to a brand new reality. And it's not even a question of can we do it. We've already done it in the past, recently, myself, and many others. But the bottom line is, how can we do these things in bringing our people into this ability if they don't want to believe this is something that they could ever do? Unfortunately, these are the things that have held us back. But now I'm talking about for those who are serious about moving forward and not to hold on to the lies of the past, we will start to see a new, brand new future, present time come about. And we're going to start to see great, awesome, amazing things. And I know we can bring it about. I don't think we can. I don't think it's a possibility. I know we can. And that's a whole nother situation when you know it. And one of the great affirmations that we told our students to use that was very powerful and helped many of them achieve great and wonderful success in being able to get on the A and B honor roll and things of that sort. We told them, see it, believe it, and you will achieve it. See it, believe it, and you will achieve it. See it, believe it, and you will achieve it. See it, believe it, and you will definitely achieve it. So all I can say is that we can definitely bring about without a doubt. And I thank all of you that came on the call. And again, call me at that number, and we'll see what we can do. And our time has come for a brand new reality to come our way. so that we can change our lifestyle from now until each and every day. Yes, indeed. So now, my brother, if you're still there on the line with us, you can bring the music up to play, or what I'll do is the meditation piece for those people who are still here. Are you still there, brother? Okay, no problem. So basically, for those who are still on the line with me at this time, this is what I'm going to say, because we only have a few minutes left, actually 5 minutes. I'm just going to do a few quick affirmations with us, and we can start to envision this by closing your eyes and starting to see this great and wonderful new reality. As it says, see it, believe it, and we will achieve it. See it, believe it, and we will achieve it. See it, believe it, and we will achieve it. See it, believe it, and we will achieve it. These are things that we can definitely do, but we just have to make sure these lights of truth will come shining through in our minds and our hearts, and we will believe that these are things that we can do. And once we start to really focus on knowing this beyond a shadow of a doubt, these are things that will start to truly come about. So again, I know this is something that can happen for us, seeing it and believing it, and know now we can definitely achieve it. See it, believe it, and now we can achieve it. And these are things that can really work. But all we need to do is to put our mind up on high so that our goals and dreams will truly start to fly. Put your mind up on high so that your goals and dreams will truly start to fly. Put your mind up on high so that your goals and dreams will truly start to fly. And when I say put your mind up on high, I'm not talking about drugs or alcohol. I'm talking about some negativity, being stuck in the dungeon of negative thoughts and feelings, to the positivity of reaching all the way up to the mountaintop of success, where you can achieve your very best. So when you put your mind up on high, you are reaching the mountaintop of success. When you put your mind down low, that's where you're going to go, down in the dungeon of failure, down in the dungeon of sorrow and pain and negativity. But we don't want you to think down low. We want you to think up on high, where you, your goals and dreams will start to truly fly. And by you seeing yourself in that positive state of mind, that's where things will start to truly start to fly for you. So once again, put your mind up on high and your goals and dreams will truly start to fly. Put your mind up on high and your goals and dreams will truly start to fly. Put your mind up on high and your goals and dreams will truly start to fly. Put your mind up on high and your goals and dreams will truly start to fly. See it, believe it, and you will achieve it. See it, believe it, and you will truly achieve it. See it, believe it, and you will achieve it. See it, believe it, and you will truly achieve it. Already done, and your victory has been won. See it, already done, and your victory has been won. See it, already done, and your victory has been won. See it, already done, and your victory has been won. See it, already done, and your victory has been won. See it, already done, and your victory has been won. See it, already done, and your victory has been won. See it, already done, and your victory has been won. See it, already done, and your victory has been won. See it, believe it, and you will achieve it.
I really, really got you. keep us down.